Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years as radio small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for being part of our day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Either one of those will get you to the same place where you can find out all about our Brain Trust members, a little bit about me if you want to find out about that, and you can listen to thousands of archives, read hundreds of articles. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. Lots of stuff there, so check it out when you get a chance. I think you'll like it. It's all for you, and it's all free, unless you decide to buy a book, and we might charge you for that. David Dossie is our guest this half hour, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend, and for you, I've met him before. He and I have spoken before, but he's new on the show. David is an intellectual property attorney. His firm is called Gallagher and Dossie, which is practices primarily in the Ohio area. And you may not have heard that term before, intellectual property attorney. You might be more familiar with the name that maybe what he does used to be called, and I guess we'd call that a patent attorney. We're going to ask him about that. David Dossie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Been a longtime listener and fan.
Well, I appreciate that, and it's good to have you on the show. Now, you call yourself an intellectual property attorney.
Yes.
I like that term. I think that's an excellent term. I think it's right on the money for the 21st century especially. Mm-hmm. But 10 years ago, you would have been more likely to be known as a patent attorney, wouldn't you?
Correct.
Now, tell us about those distinctions.
Well, patent attorney is kind of a subset of intellectual property attorney. Many people misconstrue intellectual property as being only patents. And we see that mistake all the time in our practice with small businesses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I like to tell people, you know, intellectual property can be anything that you've developed that's unique, unobvious, novel, and most importantly, has some value in the marketplace. You know? Whereas patent attorney, you know, patent is a very specific subpart of intellectual property. And intellectual property generally, most people think of it as including patents, trademarks, copyright, trade secrets, a whole, you know, plethora of items that often get overlooked by small businesses.
Right. Well, and exactly. And of course, the thing is, you know, this is not some new marketing angle that attorneys are using now. The world has changed.
Absolutely.
Not only with regard to the creation of intellectual property, but to the attitude about intellectual property. And the reason is because, David, as you know, 25 years ago, I was trying to find the report, the name of the report. I'll find it before you go today. But I've seen a report that you probably have as well, that 25 years ago, corporations, meaning big corporations, well, all corporations really, 80% of their assets were fixed assets, things you could kick and paint and sell.
Exactly.
And 20% was intellectual patents and proprietary information that the company had developed. In the last report, the last survey that was conducted, which was only about 3 or 4 years ago, those numbers had completely reversed.
Exactly.
80% was intellectual capital and 20% were hard assets. Now that's a startling turnaround, isn't it?
That's probably even more true with small businesses.
Exactly. More and more. That's exactly right. Because there are more and more small businesses today that are in existence that couldn't have even existed 20 years ago, could they? Because
sure.
They are intellectually based, aren't they?
Yes.
So this is where you come in, David.
Okay.
Because the, you know, I don't need any help buying and selling a can or a tire or a motor. That's, you know, that's something human beings pretty much know how to do. And if I want to protect that can or that tire, you know, I lock the door and I buy some insurance. But it's not the same thing with my intellectual property, is it?
No, not at all. And, you know, intellectual property is something that people need to start thinking about as soon as they start thinking about starting a small business. You know, I guess from the very beginning, just in terms of naming your business, a name, as many of your guests have pointed out, the branding issues, etc., is just critical to the success of a company. And it's pointless to choose a name of a company that, you know, you can't federally trademark.
Right, exactly. And I want you to talk to us about that when we come back. Folks, it's intellectual property, the small business way. We're going to continue this discussion with our good friend David Dossie. That's what he is. He's an intellectual property attorney. He helps small businesses make sure that they take care of their intellectual property, protect it, and defend it. Tony Taylor, stay with us.
Well, let me tell you, I got some news for you.
We're back at 17:10. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our new friend David Dossie, intellectual property attorneys. His firm is called Gallagher & Dossie in the Ohio area, Cincinnati, Columbus, Dayton, that part of the world, great part of the world, part of the Midwest there. David, let's talk about, and folks, we're talking about intellectual property. And it really is a big field these days, isn't it? Let's identify some examples for our audience, David, about what intellectual property might look like. Because, you know, a lot of small business owners are hearing us and they're saying, okay, I guess I believe you guys. I guess I hear what you're saying, but I'm not sure I know if I have any of that stuff.
Sure, absolutely.
Give us some examples of what it might look like.
Well, the most common form that people are exposed to every day, day in and day out, is trademarks and service marks.
Right.
And, you know, they're just any word, design, or even a symbol that is used to identify your goods or services from your competitors' products and associate yours with your business. So whether it's the local pizza shop or Lowe's or Staples, you know,
right.
Those are trademarks or service marks that have tremendous value in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it, how many times do you go to the grocery store and there's like Dole pineapples beside generic pineapples?
Yeah.
And you buy the Dole pineapples because there's some sort of quality you've associated with the word Dole that's worth paying another quarter.
It's as my friend says, it's the ding in branding.
Exactly.
That makes you want to get that in. And that's valuable. That creates sales opportunities, doesn't it?
Exactly. Definitely.
And so that's an example. The name of your company is, maybe it needs to be trademarked, but maybe you need to develop a trademarkable name for your company.
Yes, that's very important. The number of clients that we have come to us after they've been in business 5 years and finally have established a significant goodwill in their company and then say, now we want to protect our name. And unfortunately, at that time, it may be too late because you could have chosen a name that was not protectable.
Right, exactly. Now, how do we find out about that? How do we find out if something is protectable, if it's something... you start out with a trademark, and then you get a registration, right?
Right, right. You start off with a name, and generally when you're choosing that name, there are just some general things that you need to consider, some differences between good marks and bad marks. And, you know, some examples of bad marks are marks that are just descriptive of your services. You know, if I open a business called Dave's Pizza, that would be a bad mark.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause Dave is considered part of the public domain, so to speak.
Right. Well, Dave
is
a surname.
Uh-huh.
Right. Also, geographic areas.
But what about Wendy's? What about Wendy's? Did Dave, what's his name, trademark Wendy's?
Yes. Well, fortunately, if you do that and then you can prove that you've developed a certain amount of goodwill or notoriety towards
right.
your mark, then it is potentially patentable.
Associate a drawing of a little girl or something?
Yes.
Wasn't that part of the deal, too?
Right. When you start off, if you chose a mark that was purely a name like that, often you would need to include a design to get the mark actually registered.
Right.
So then you wouldn't actually have protection over just the word Wendy's, but it would be Wendy's with that particular mark.
In association
mark.
With that mark. And that's a way of sort of glomming on to a logo and having something that's registerable.
Right. But most importantly, you know, ideally you would choose a mark that you would be able to protect the word alone, and then any other symbols or logos that you've put along with it afterwards would
right.
just be the icing on the cake.
So all right, folks, if you've got a company that has a name, you have intellectual property right there, right, David?
Yes.
And so what are you going to do with that information? Now, David, what do you recommend that people do when they're starting a company, when they have a company? What do they need to do to register all this and to get all this protected?
Well, the first thing is anyone can. I'm sure you've seen the superscript TM beside a word or a
right.
mark. Anyone can use that at any time, whether you've registered it or not.
Hmm.
That's just asserting that you have some what's known as common law rights in the mark.
You're telling the people, you're telling whoever looks at this, that you consider this to be your property.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And then,
it's sort of like wearing a wedding band, right? It tells the world what you've done.
Right. Right. And hopefully before you've done that, you've had a trademark search performed, and you know fairly well that that mark is available. In other words, you wouldn't be stepping on anyone's toes by using that.
Isn't that trademark search something that anybody can do who can get online nowadays?
Yes, it really is.
And you want to give us that site?
Well, most people would start with the Patent and Trademark Office website, which would
right.
be USPTO.gov.
USPTO.gov, right.
And there you can search trademarks, but the key to remember is you can only search federally registered trademarks on that website.
Uh-huh.
And when you're doing a trademark search, that would be the first knockout search, if you want to call it that.
Right.
Because it's not a full green light, but it gets you past the first intersection.
Right.
Then, because you really have to consider what state law registered marks, as well as common law marks, and perhaps international marks, because any of those can prevent you later on from obtaining federal registration of your mark.
David, hold on to that thought. Before we take this break, give us your website, please.
Our website is www.invention-protection.com.
Invention-protection.com. When we come back, I'm going to get David to tell us what we'll find when we get there. We've got more to talk about on this intellectual property thing that you and I we all need to be paying more attention to. 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with David Dossie. We are back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our new friend, soon-to-be old friend, David Dossie. He's with the firm Gallagher & Dossie. And give us that website again, David.
It's www.invention-protection.com.
All right. And what will we find when we get there?
Well, you'll find a little bit of information about our firm. You'll also find newsletter archives that we have, as well as listing of upcoming presentations and seminars that we put on.
How often does your newsletter go out?
Well, it was monthly for several years, and now it's quarterly.
All right. And so how can we subscribe there on
yes,
your site?
Yes, you can.
And is
yes,
that free?
It is free.
And what would you typically have in your newsletter?
It ranges. Basically, any articles about intellectual property that are relevant to business.
Folks, I encourage you to subscribe to David's letter because this is, look, I don't expect you to become an expert in intellectual property overnight, and many of you listening right now, this is the first time you've really thought about it, and don't feel bad about that. It's understandable, but I want you to start thinking about intellectual property, and one of the ways I think you'll do it, one of the ways is to keep listening to this show because I'm going to keep talking about it, and I'm going to keep writing about it, too. But David's a pro in this area, and so get his newsletter, and you'll get some stuff that will remind you about this. And David, I just think that if you took a company right now that was still in the 21st century, still just a classic 20th century company, they were, you know, maybe they don't even have computers anymore. if they survive very much further into the 21st century, every day that goes by, they will accumulate more and more intellectual property, won't they? It's just going to be automatic, isn't it?
Without a doubt.
And we're not talking about patents. See, we haven't even said anything about patents yet, have we?
No.
This is not about patents. This is about the stuff that you own, the things that you know how to do, the way you enter the marketplace. These are things that you need to be distinctive so you can differentiate yourself from the competition, right?
True. And I tell our clients that, you know, over the years I've found a particular type of printer we use in our office that it's cheap and it's reliable and it lasts twice as long as other printers.
Right.
So that has some value to our firm. It's something that I know, and you know, that's a part of our intellectual property.
Right. And the way that company presents itself to you, and the way, the professional way that it says, this is who we are and this is what we're prepared to do to protect what we call ourselves and how we offer our products to you, that gives you a professional image of them that impresses you, doesn't it?
Yes.
Now, let's talk for a minute, David, about how I would engage somebody who does what you do. What would that look like?
Okay, well, when you're first getting your feet wet in terms of intellectual property, if you're a new company, it would probably be when you're setting up your company, you'd be talking to your business formation attorney. They would usually know intellectual property attorneys. You know, mm-hmm. referrals are the best way to find a person that is respected in the profession.
Right.
So if you're in the process of starting your business, just ask your business attorney if he knows an intellectual property attorney mm-hmm. that he would recommend.
All right.
Obviously, you can also search the Internet. The patent attorneys are a unique breed because they're a specialty that have to be also registered with the Patent and Trademark Office.
Right.
So you can actually go to the Patent and Trademark Office website, which was USPTO.gov, and find patent attorneys in your area there.
Now, I'd like to recommend everybody who's in business today to find someone who does what you do and go sit down with them for a few minutes and say, okay, here's what I have. And let that attorney ask them some questions and say, okay, tell me about your products. Tell me about the name of your company. Tell me about what you do for what your business does. And let that attorney give them some ideas about where there are opportunities and also where there might be some exposures. What do you think about that idea?
That's an excellent point. And the small amount of money that you would ever pay, usually it's probably free with most attorneys for an initial consultation.
For an initial little visit, just to point out some of the areas. Yeah.
It can save you just so much money in avoiding future problems. Even something as simple as changing your name later because someone else has that name, you know, you could spend thousands of dollars just changing your letterhead,
right?
Let alone the goodwill you've developed.
Absolutely. David Dossie, this has been great. I've enjoyed having you on the show. Will you come back another day and talk about this some more?
Absolutely, Jim.
We've got a lot of stuff left to talk about. Give us your website one more time.
It's www.invention-protection.com.
And don't forget to subscribe to his newsletter, folks. It comes quarterly, and I think you'll benefit from it significantly. Thanks, David. See you next time.
Great. Thank you.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.